I'm sure with Brother Paul and them here, you know about spiritual gifts. You know there's a spiritual gift God wants to give every one of you? I'm serious. It is the ability to prophesy. Look in verse 1 of chapter 14. Just read it. Do you think God would tell us in the scriptures to earnestly desire something and then not give it to us if we'd ask him? I'm asking you a question. Do you think God would tell us to earnestly desire a gift, and then if we asked him for it, he wouldn't give it to us? Do you think so? Okay, good. Well, how do you get a gift that somebody offers to you? You ask them for it. Now you say, see, we're going to need this gift, I believe, at the end of the service tonight if God moves. We're going to need a lot of it in operation. What is the gift of prophecy? Read verse 3. He who prophesies speaks to men for edification, that's to build them up, for exhortation, that's to counsel them, and for consolation, that's to comfort them. It is the ability from God to speak words of edification, exhortation, and consolation. That's what the menu says. Now, the way you get a gift is to receive it. I believe we've made the scriptures far too complicated. I'm not going to ask God for the gift of prophecy. I asked him for it, and he gave it to me. Now, having a gift is one thing. Using it is another. When you have this gift, you have from God the ability to speak to people, mostly one-on-one, words. It is a speaking gift. Words that will build them up and counsel them and comfort them. And God knows we need that today. Now, so for those of you who want this gift, I'm going to give you a chance right now. Just say, God, I just read in your book that I was to earnestly desire this gift. And I'm asking you right now to give me the ability to prophesy so that I can use it for your honor and glory. Now, we're using prophecy as defined in verse 3 right now. That's how we're using prophecy. Not to say Jesus is coming in 1999 on December the 21st, okay? Now, I'm defining it exactly like the scripture defines it right here. I'm not saying there's not more to it, but this is what we're asking God for. What a tremendous thing today. Listen, you know, this word, encouragement, is... The Bible says, encourage one another daily. This is something we ought to be using all the time. There's so much of this needed. Just encouragement. A word that's spoken. So, if you don't have the gift, the scripture says, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. And then as if to give you a hint, especially that you may prophesy. Does your Bible say that? Does your Bible say that? Good. Well, for those of you that want to ask God for this gift, why don't we just go into prayer right now? And then, like you receive Jesus by faith, you receive this gift by faith. Just say, after you've asked him for it, receive it. And say, thank you for this ability that you're going to give me when it's needed, that I can speak to people for edification, exhortation, and consolation. So let's just go into prayer. You have to do this. I can't receive a gift for you, okay? Thank you. It's no big deal to receive a gift. Just receive it and then say thank you. That's what most people do. Amen. Now, saying thank you for a gift is one thing. The best way to show appreciation for any gift is to use it. If Brother Paul never wears my tie, I'm going to assume he didn't really appreciate it, because ties are meant to be worn. And now you have this ability. It's not, see, the Holy Spirit will guide you how to use it, when to use it, and it's very, very simple. No big deal. Not thus saith the Lord God Almighty. Are you with me? You don't have to raise your voice. You can do it over the telephone. You can do it in a letter. You can do it in a note. But the best way to do it is face to face, one on one. And the Lord's going to use it. And I think we're going to have some opportunities to use it tonight. Now, let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a spiritual checkup? Have you ever had, I'm asking you, you know, a spiritual checkup where somebody who was competent examined you spiritually to find out what kind of shape you were in? You know, one of my staff members the other day, feeling wonderful, had a physical checkup and found out that he had a fast-growing cancer. He would never have known it unless he had submitted himself to a checkup. Now, physical diseases can only kill the body. But spiritual diseases can damage the soul in terrible, terrible ways. Now, if you came to me for a spiritual checkup, here are 8 tests I would put you through. I'm dead serious. And the biggest killer of all of these is this one right here. I mean, it is. You know what that is? You know what? This is the Greek word for forgiveness. There is no spiritual disease that is more disastrous on the soul than unforgiveness. Each one of these 8 things comes from a Greek word that indicates the condition of one's heart. See, when God looks at us, He looks at our heart. That's what He looks at. He doesn't look at our performance out here. He looks at our heart. And see, I don't care how well you sing. I don't care how well you teach or preach. If your heart is filled with unforgiveness, it's an abomination to God. And worse than that, it's going to hurt you. Unforgiveness does more damage to the person that has it than any other thing I know. Let me suggest something to you. That you get a spiritual checkup sometime. I had 3 men for 6 hours give me a spiritual. Now you don't need one of these real often. One of the best things that could happen to all of us is to have regular accountability. But it's quite possible that the struggle of your Christian life is due to the fact that you have a spiritual disease that you've had so long, you take it for granted. It's just a part of you. And you excuse it by saying, that's just me. So I want to recommend to you that you find somebody who's competent. I know pastor can't do it all. But you get a spiritual check and find out what kind of shape you're in. Because you might have some things that are deterring your spiritual life you're not even conscious of because you've carried them for so long in your life. See, folks, got saved. It didn't fix up a lot of things in you. Yes, it got you right with God. But hey, if you were damaged, you're still damaged. And you need to get healed. And our churches today are filled with damaged people. And I want you to repeat this after me, because you're going to find out that this is true in life. It's very simple. Never forget it. It goes like this. Hurt people hurt people. Now let me just say it again. Hurt people hurt people. Now what that means is, when you see somebody hurting them, they're already hurt. Because it is hurt people who hurt other people. So, rather than get angry for a person who's hurting other people, get pitiful for them and prayerful for them, because they're suffering, and it's out of their suffering that they make other people suffer. So I want you just to say out loud, hurt people hurt people. Okay, good. Now, tell me something. Which one of these 2 phrases would be your reaction to pain? Come on. Okay, good. When this service is over, if you hear right, you're going to say about pain, wow. Let me ask you a question. Do you know there are a group of people in America that go to bed every night asking God for pain? I'm dead serious. There are a group of people who literally pray every night, God, let us have pain. You know who they are? They're lepers. A leper is a person who no longer feels pain. A leper can be jogging and break his ankle. He'll keep right on jogging. A leper can smoke a cigarette. If he's not watching the cigarette, burn right through his hands, and he'll never know it. When you understand the purpose of pain, both in the body and in the soul, you'll say, thank God for pain. And what I really want to talk to you tonight about is pain. Not so much bodily pains, because we are well acquainted with that, and we have learned how to process, for the most part, bodily pains. What I want to talk to you about tonight is how to process soul pains, because the church has never learned how to process soul pains, and so they've stored up their pains. Very few people have any idea what a soul pain is, much less how to process it, what to do with it. Now, if I've got a toothache, which is a body pain, I know what to do with it. And I do it. Sometime back, I had a terrible toothache. I went to my dentist and I had a root canal. We have ways of processing pain. And we have doctors that are given to certain kinds of pain, more and more, specialists that deal in certain areas. Now, pain is a fact of life. And it's a fact of scriptures. All those words are pain words. Nobody ever begs God for those. The scripture is full of it. I don't have time tonight. Any casual reader of the scripture will know the scripture deals with pain over and over again. Every one of those are pain words. When we're experiencing any of those, we're experiencing pain. They're not the easiest times in life at all. They're the most difficult time. And let me just tell you, young and old, there are a lot of young people. Boy, I love this church, and I love you all sitting on the front row. That's one of the best things I've seen in the church in years. Keep it up. It's the best sign in this church is who fills up these front two rows. I'll tell you that. That says more to me about this church than many other things. But I want you all to know this. In your life, you're going to have tons of pain, so you might as well learn how to deal with it properly. In America, we're obsessed with avoiding pain. But you can't avoid it all the time, so why not deal with it? I have a friend who was at a funeral. And she was burying the pastor was my friend, and he had a woman burying her husband, and she looked up at him and said, Pastor, would you pray with me that I will be a good steward of my sufferings? I'll tell you something, if the church learns to be a good steward of sufferings, of pain, we will have ministries that we will never know, because there is so much pain out there in the world. So, you're going to have lots of it. Would you like to be a good steward of it? Would you like to be able to process it properly? Not just for your good, but to tell others how to process their pains. Listen, I am convinced of this. The church of the future is going to be filled with people who are covered with scars, who are going to take off their shirts to us to speak and show other people their scars. You know what a scar is? It is a wound that has been healed. Nobody ministers to me like the man who says, look, I've been there. I know the pains of having a son on drugs. or whatever else it might be, but I know the healing touch of God. Those are the people that minister to me, not people who stand in pulpits and give platitudes. People who have been in the battle, who have been wounded and healed. I'm going to tell you this, your greatest ministry will not be your successes, they will be your failures that you have learned to minister to and minister with. Have you ever noticed when somebody gets up in the pulpit and shares how God has ministered to them in failure, your heart melts towards them? That's why Paul said, I'll brag about my weaknesses. He knew his greatest ministry was not in his strength, but in his weaknesses. Now, I could have brought hundreds of scriptures tonight, but I didn't, because I want to get into this and I know you're there. Here are some pain words. Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, so forth. No, in all these things we are overwhelmingly conquerors through him who loved us. Now, a person who knows the Bible well will understand that 1 Peter was written to a suffering church. And I'm just going to put the scriptures up here. We're not going to take the time to read them tonight, because I think you'll catch the thrust as we go along here. But 1 Peter, the whole book was written to a suffering church. Now, how to be a good steward of your sufferings? Number one, expect them, because they're going to come. Don't ask for them. Expect them. So you need to be prepared for them. Number two, prepare for them. Understand why they come, what causes them, understand what you can use them for, and have a plan for handling them. Learn to process your pains properly. Now, there are four reasons why people suffer, Christians suffer, four reasons. One, because you're a human being and live in this world. That's the first reason. The second reason is because you break human laws. We're going to look at these briefly. The third reason is because you're a Christian. Listen, being a Christian does not lessen your sufferings, it increases them. Let me just say that to you again. Never tell anybody that if you become a Christian, your sufferings are going to go away. But you can tell them this, that when you become a Christian, you've got one who can walk through your sufferings with you and bring you triumphantly out on the other side. So I'm just saying to you tonight, if you're not a Christian, when you become one, you're going to have a few more sufferings added. And then the fourth thing, because you're a Christian who breaks God's laws, God says, when you're my child and you do bad, I spank you. Praise God. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and he spanks every child whom he receives. Now, let's just look at these briefly for just a minute. There's a lot of suffering just because we live in the world. Genetics, people born with deformities, conditions of birth. Think of a person born in Bangladesh. Boy, I was there. I've never seen poverty like that in all of my life. They couldn't help it. Just conditions of birth cause them to be hungry so often. The relationships and mistakes of others. Listen, this room tonight is full of hurts that were caused by parents when you were a little child over which you had no control. Just little children. Abused, not just sexually. Abused emotionally, abused other ways by their parents. Listen, there's enough hurts by parents to children in here tonight. If it were cleared up, a miracle would take place in this church. But you couldn't help it. You were just a little boy, a little girl. And I could go on. Weather, politics. How do you feel those people in Miami suffered when that hurricane came? There wasn't any fault of their own. All of a sudden, many of them, everything was gone. The people in the flooding this year of the rivers. So I'm saying, hey, you live in this world, you're going to suffer just because you're a human being. Then, there's a certain kind of suffering comes from breaking laws. A lot of you are suffering because you've broken the laws of the body. In fact, I am. I overdosed today. I really did. I'm speaking. I've had a lot of pain today. I did a very foolish thing. You can tell I've had a bad throat, so I got a bottle of syrup, and I didn't read the instructions carefully. It says 1 teaspoon every 6 hours. I drank half the bottle in one gulp. I mean, I broke a law of the body. The body, Teresa's daddy is a druggist. He said there was enough in that bottle to last you a month. Well, see, I broke a law of the body, and I've suffered an awful lot today. I really have. Now, when you are suffering because you are breaking laws, the answer to get rid of that suffering is quit breaking the laws. Some of you are suffering financially in here because you've just been downright stupid with your finances. And I'm going to say this to you, you know, I'd like to think that God is too kind to zap you out of those troubles. What he wants you to do is get your finances right. We suffer because we break laws. And as long as look, you don't break laws, they break you. The law isn't affected at all. Some people are in prison because they broke those kind of laws. Some of you got fired because you broke the law. You were there late all the time. You didn't do good work. You're suffering because you're a lawbreaker. Listen, lawbreakers, God doesn't have to punish lawbreakers. The laws punish them when they break them. And the way to get over that is to quit breaking the laws. Okay, Christians suffer. Because you have God's life in this world, because you belong to God. The devil comes at it. There's a real devil. It's only in the Western world. We don't take the devil seriously. 70% of the people in Brazil are spiritist. They believe very strongly. I was just down in Brazil. This is going to blow your mind. The first week I spoke to 180 missionaries. The second week to 400 Brazilian pastors and their wives. You know what the big topic of discussion was? The big topic of discussion was that people's teeth were getting covered and filled with gold and replaced with solid gold. And the discussion wasn't whether it was happening or not, was whether the devil or God was doing it. A Methodist preacher opened his mouth, showed me four teeth completely covered with gold, a fifth replaced with solid gold. I mean, none of the veteran missionaries had any question whether it was happening. They were just trying to find out who did it. There's a very real spiritual world out there. Then, if you're going to be a cross-bearing Christian, you're going to suffer. Brother, let me tell you something. To love people hurts. And see, a lot of us have quit loving because you get hurt by the people that you love. Listen, suppose Jesus had said, I'm never going to get hurt. He'd never have come into this world. Our salvation has taken place because the Son of God was willing to come in this world. Not just die on the cross. Take all the jazz he took from all the people he took. And he loved us with a love that was willing to be hurt. You cannot be a good minister unless you're willing to be hurt. And I'm not talking about preaching in the pulpit. I'm talking about helping people. Because sometimes, the people you help are going to turn around and slap you. And see what a lot of people do when that happens. They say, I give up. No more of that. I went to work in the church and look what happened in the committee meeting. I'm through. Listen, expect it. We're all human beings. And if you're going to do a work for God, you're going to be hurt in that work. You're going to be hurt at church. You're going to be hurt in the service of God by the people that you're serving. But God won't let you have any more than you can stand. I'm just telling you the truth, folks, like it is out there. So you're going to suffer because of this and agape love. To love another person causes you to suffer. Now, and then you're going to suffer if you're a Christian that God has to spank. So you're going to have lots of it. What are you going to do with it? Don't get married, young lady, if you don't want to suffer some. Listen, I know he's like a saint in shining armor right now. When you get married, you're going to find out he has a few flaws. And those are going to gorge you. Right, Andrew? See, I wonder, you know who I was talking about. You're going to get hurt. But if you can deal with those hurts, you can come out on the positive side. And on the upside, you can come out stronger. Now, pain has three purposes, and I'm only going to deal with one of them tonight. Basically, it has a constructive purpose. If you'll handle pain right, you'll be built up. If you can handle pain right, you're going to come out a richer, better, solid person. No person ever matures that they don't mature through suffering. There's no way around it. So you say, God, make me like Jesus. He's going to lead you into suffering. Because it is suffering and handling it properly that builds a person up. Secondly, pain unifies if you are a body. Now look, think of it like this. I'm out working in my yard and the hammer hits that finger, wielded by this hand. My whole body rushes to help that finger. My mouth licks it. My hand rubs it. My feet take it to the faucet. My whole body is concerned about the hurting member. Look, when a church learns to handle hurts, it's going to be its greatest unifying factor. And that's what we're going to talk some about tonight. And then, thirdly, the protection purposes, and that's what I really want to deal with tonight. So I'm going to skip these other two because I really want us to get down to the protection purpose of pain. Now, here is what pain does both in the body and in the soul. Number one, it warns of impending danger, both internal and external. And number two, it witnesses to actual damage, both internal and external. And you'll understand more about this in just a minute. Now, a very simple illustration. You get your hand near the stove and it sends a message up. If you don't get away from here, you're going to be in trouble. So, pain can warn us of impending danger. But it also witnesses to actual damage. Now, a church ought to be a body. We're called the body of Christ. And we'll never become the church of Jesus Christ till we are his body, acting like his body. And that's what I want to talk to you about. And here is a simple fact. A body cannot protect what it does not feel. That's why lepers are in such trouble. Listen, there's some of you hurting in here tonight, but the body here can't help you because the body doesn't know anything about it. You have kept it in. You have kept it under your mask. You have stuffed it. And you came to church tonight with your mask on. And some of you have been wearing masks so long, they're going to be hard to take off. But listen, a church that is sick and hurting is not a church that can minister very well out here. And the first thing the church needs to do is to get well. And that's what I want to talk to you about tonight, how all of this works. Now, pain comes either internally or externally. Now, son, come up here just a minute, would you? Yeah, just a minute, yeah. Mm-hmm. Won't take just a minute. Now, just right up here. Now, his foot, put it right out there, was not designed to have 200 pounds stepping on it. So when 200 pounds steps on it, he gets pain. Pain is a signal that his foot is being subjected to something it wasn't designed for. And pain sends a message up to the head, get rid of that thing. Now, since in this case, the cause of the pain is external, it can be removed. But the pain he feels in his foot might be due to a broken bone, and that's internal, and so it needs to be repaired. Okay, thank you. One of the things you need to find out is this. Sometimes, look, we live in a real world. Much of our pain is demonic. For instance, do you know what condemnation is? Condemnation is false guilt. When you feel guilty, now look, condemnation, which is false guilt, and real guilt feel exactly alike. Real guilt is caused because there's something wrong on the inside. Condemnation is caused by the devil coming along and making you feel guilty about something that he shouldn't at all. Now, the only way to get rid of condemnation is to tell the devil to resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Get away. I refuse to receive that anymore. I have taken care of that guilt. So you see, guilt and condemnation. Some of you in here live in guilt. Rather, I should say, live in condemnation. The devil has learned he can harass you and get by with it, and you let him do it. Now, if the cause of the pain is external, it must be removed. If the cause is internal, it must be corrected. Now, the health of any living thing depends on its ability to communicate pain. If any living organism depends on its ability to communicate pain. That's why lepers can't communicate pain. Now, I want you to read these next two statements out loud, if you would, please. Would you read this one? In other words, pain is saying something's wrong. If you don't respond to it properly, it will lead to the processes that bring to death. Now, the other part of it is true too. So would you read this right here? Okay, now just think of this in the bodily term, because we're going to be talking about soul pains in just a little bit. My hand is hurting me. Okay, I'm going to respond to it. The pain says there's something wrong. I need to take care of it. Pain is a signal that some member is hurting and needs to be taken care of. Now, communication, there's a two-way communication. And we're going to call it the way in and the way out. The way in is the realization of pain and the proper expression of it, and the way out is the response to pain expressed and what is done about it. Now look, this is how it works. My hand sends a message to my head. I'm hurting. I'm caught in a car door. Now, I've never had this hand say, serves you right. I'm going to leave you there for 2 hours. Just to be sure you won't do it again. No, this hand, look, under the direction of the head, rushes over, opens the door, and starts to massage and help the hand. And if necessary, the feet and the body take the hand to the doctor to get fixed. That's how it works in the body, and that's how it ought to work in the church. But see, and we're going to see this as we go through. What we've developed in the church is a place where people are not free to express their pains. Doing fine. The Baptist mask is fine. The charismatic mask is praise the Lord. See, it doesn't make any difference what's going on inside of us. Now, if there is going to be healing, pain has to be communicated properly. And I want us to look at these two ways in just a little bit. The health of the way in depends on the member's ability to communicate pain and two factors. The hurting member's willingness to communicate pain, and I'll explain this word to you, and the non-hurting member's willingness to receive that communication. Now, let me explain this to you. I was in Indonesia speaking to our missionaries, and a bunch of the missionary children were graduating from high school and coming back to America to a new life. They'd been raised in Indonesia. And a young medical doctor was speaking to them, and he said, young people, when you get back into a strange society, strange to you because you weren't born then, you haven't lived there, you're going to have a lot of hurts. He said, don't be like my patients when I go through the hospital wards in the morning and I find a woman that has been hurting all night, and I will say to her, why didn't you ask for help? And she'll say, Malu, Malu. Malu in Indonesian means this: I was ashamed to ask for help. I was ashamed. See, a lot of us are hurting, but we're ashamed to ask for help. Shame comes along with sin. So we smile and we grin, and the disease gets worse. You know what's connected with shame? It's something that God hates. It's called pride. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Listen, I know this for absolute sure. There are families in this building falling apart. There is hurt in a wife, but she's not about to say anything. The pain signals are coming up saying, get help, get help, get help, get help. She won't say anything. I know this, that there are families in here hurting tonight because of parent-children relationships. But here's a father out here tonight who's so stinking proud. He wouldn't ask for help. He wouldn't say, listen, we're hurting in our home. Things are gone awry. This thing's falling apart. There's no fellowship. I need help. Will somebody help me? I'm hurting. But we'd rather cram it. A body cannot protect what it doesn't feel. Listen, I believe this with all my heart. There's all the healing in every body, every church that is needed, but it isn't residing in one or two people. It resides in the body. But here we have another trouble. Not only does the hurting member's willingness to communicate pain, he's not willing to do it. The non-hurting member's willingness to receive that pain. See, somebody has to respond to it, but a lot of us don't want to be bothered with anybody else's troubles. I got my own troubles. Let me alone. Don't want to hear yours. Please don't tell me. Because if you tell me, I might have to be concerned. Now, that's okay for the world to act like that, but that's not okay for the church to act like that. The church should be different. But some people have expressed their pain and nobody responded. And so they're saying, what's the use? Now, listen, anybody can tell you this church in America is so sick. We don't even begin to resemble what Jesus Christ said a church was. And it's sick because we have never taken care of the problems and haven't responded to the hurts. Now, what about the way out? The health of the way out depends on two factors. The well member's willingness to be an instrument of healing. God, right now I'm well by your grace. If you can use me to help this person, I will. Now, to help the person doesn't mean that you have all the answers. To help the person means you're willing to walk with that person till they get the answers. You don't have to know all the answers. Listen, all a good parent has to do is to care and make sure their children get help. They don't have to be a doctor and everything else. They just need to care. All we need in the church today are caring people who, when a hurting member comes to them, are willing to see them through that time till they get well. But here's another problem we're having. The sick member's willingness to receive the well member's ministry of healing. Ask any counselor. Do you know something? The average Christian counselor will tell you this. Who counsels, whether he's a professional or not, the people he gives advice to most of the time don't carry it out. It's like getting a prescription and not taking it. You know what my advice to Christian counselors is? Don't counsel anybody a second time till they've done what you asked them to do the first time. You're just wasting your time. Now, I'm not sure that's fully true, but, you know, sometimes we need a little patience. But I'm just telling you this. For instance, in our church right now, we have a lot of young couples hurting financially, really hurting. They're strapped. So they say, I'm hurting. And people who are able to help them say, okay, come in and bring your checkbook and its stubs so we can find out why you are hurting. That's none of your business. So they're not willing to receive help. So, here's it. The hurting member has to be willing to ask for help. The well member has to be willing to give help. And the hurting member has to be willing to receive the help that the well member gives. Or it's not going to work. That's how it works with the doctor. Now, what I'd like to do just briefly tonight is go over some soul pains with you. Let me get a piece of paper here. Now, you need to remember that pain is not a bad thing. Pain is an indication that something's bad. Now, one of the common pains today is loneliness and rejection. There are more lonely people running around than I've ever seen. That is a terrible pain. People are lonely, especially older people. You know what amazed me in Titusville? I live in a little town with 40,000 people. We have a little paper. Listen. One full sheet in our local paper are women asking for dates for men. And the other side, the next full sheet, is full of men asking dates for women. I'm 31, single, talented, lonely. I look at that in our little city of 40,000 people. And you know how big an ad is? About that big. And a regular sized newspaper. People are screaming, I'm lonely, I'm lonely. They're paying an ad to do it. I wouldn't be surprised if some of you in here have ads in the Oklahoma paper. And that's your only way you know. You're lonely and you're crying for help. Listen, loneliness is one awful pain. Because God meant everybody to have companionship in one way or another. God's first negative was this. It is not good for man to be alone. And I'm not just talking about marriage. Loneliness is a terrible soul pain. Look, take care of that pain. And there are ways to do it. Okay? Inferiority. Unworthiness. Shame. Pride. Pity. Listen, I want you to know something. Inferiority is a soul pain that you need to get corrected or you'll never be a whole person. You can never live a wholesome life without a proper self-image. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't love yourself, you'll never love your neighbor. Inferiority is not humility. It is inverted pride. What you need is to get healed in your soul. Listen. No Christian who understands who they are in Christ can ever feel inferior. But if that's where you are, that's where you are. You need help. If my leg's hurting me, that's where I am, whether I got there carelessly or not. I need help. Those are pains that say, your soul is lacking something. And by the way, any doctor can tell you this. Many, many illnesses are psychosomatic illnesses. And a psychosomatic illness is, you're sick. Soma is the Greek word for body. Psyche is the Greek word for soul. You're sick in your body because you're sick in your soul. We'd get our souls healed. The hospitals would be way empty. Okay? Another soul pain is worry. Some of you worried so long. You know, you can have pain so long, you just live with it as a part of life. You say, that's just the way I am. Are you content? I'll tell you one thing. God's not content with a child of his who lives in worry. That's unbelief. That's fear. You're not a wholesome person. A wholesome person does not live in worry. Worry is a soul pain that says, something's missing in your soul.
See, we don't even know what soul pains are. We've never had them discussed. We're living around so many hurting people, we think that's normal. Despair, discouragement, frustration. Those are soul pains. They're saying, your soul is crying out and saying, I'm lacking something, help. Now, I'm not talking about one fleeting discouragement. But some of you have been in despair, discouragement, frustration for a long time. It is your soul saying, I'm sick. Help, help, help. No people who are afflicted with these things and some others I'm going to put up can possibly ever live wholesome Christian lives. Okay, let's look at a few more pains. Let me see here. I put them all up, you'll read them at one time. I know what you like. I'm like that too. Look, some of you in here are grieving. Remember, pain is not a bad thing. Pain is an indication something's bad. Pain is a signal that says, please help. Some of you have a reason to be sad. Suppose there's a mother in here tonight whose son was sentenced to prison today. She's got to be sad. What does she need? She needs comfort. Is there anyone going to comfort her? Does she have to walk through this sadness by herself? Covetousness, lust, greed. Listen, some of you are wanting, wanting, wanting. That doesn't mean you get. That's a pain that says your soul is starved. You need to feed it right. Listen, some of you are working yourselves to the bone in the financial world or in the work world in order to satisfy a pain that things will never satisfy. The sign on our church sign when I left was this. The life that is full of things is really empty. That's why things never satisfy. You need to be healed of that want more, want more, want more. Lust. Listen, let me show you this one. There's a guy in prison right now that I know. He's about 28. He's doing a long term in prison. He's one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. He was in our church for a few years and he had a lust problem. He messed with kids. It didn't surface in our church at all. But it was in there. He never told anybody. We have some of the best counselors in our church who could have helped him. He never told anybody. The pain went on. He went to another church in Miami, fooled with some kids. They caught him, and now he's in jail for about 15 years. See, he didn't respond to the pain. He didn't say, hey, there's something wrong in here hurting that I know is wrong that needs to be taken care of. I'm going to get help. And I want to tell you something. I wouldn't hesitate to bet there are 20 people in here tonight affected with lust that if you don't do something to take care of it, it's either going to ruin your marriage or your health or something. I was at a prayer meeting the other night. About 13 churches got together to pray for the sick. And a beautiful woman came down for me to pray for her. And she said, I have got a sexually transmitted disease. She said, I'm not really like this all the time. I just got off into it. And she has one of these awfully sexually transmitted diseases. See, long before she went out and went to bed with these guys, there was something pulling inside of her. She had a need. But she never took care of it. And so the need took care of her. The pain took care of her. In fact, I'm communicating with a man from Cape Kennedy that didn't take care of this pain, and he's in jail too for fooling with his little girl. Didn't take care of it. Some of you right now are just feeding it on pornography. Guilt, rebellion. As I said earlier, there's real guilt. Some of you are guilty because you're guilty. You need to confess your sins. That's the way to take care of real guilt. False guilt? Tell the devil to bug off. Rebellion. Listen. When you find yourself, listen, hear me carefully. When you find yourself rebelling against any kind of authority, you've got a soul pain that you better take care of. Because rebellion against authority is not a healthy, whether it's a parent or a school teacher or a government official or a boss at work. Rebellion is a soul pain that says something's awry inside of you. It's not normal. A healthy soul is not rebellious. A healthy soul is submissive. Just read this in the Bible. This is not weakness. It takes more strength to be submissive than it does to be rebellious. And I tell you something, the rebellious always get into trouble. It's going to get you into trouble. But the pain is there now. Confusion and doubt. A lot of you are mixed up. That's a pain. You know what? It's a pain saying, hey, you've lost something that needs to be restored in your life. I'm just listing soul pains. These are signals from your soul saying to you, help! Now remember what I said. I'm not talking about a momentary confusion. I'm talking about confusion over a period of time. I'm talking about prolonged pain. Anger, depression, disappointment. Listen, you guys that are exploding in anger, that's just your soul paining and somebody touches you in a certain spot and you explode. You've got a hurt down inside that needs to be helped. You know where anger, most anger comes from? Past hurts that have never been forgiven. Somebody hurt you and you didn't take care of it. And hey, although that sore is deep down inside of you, and when somebody happens to come along and touch that spot, you explode. And all the damage you do. Depression. You know what depression is? It's cold anger. A person can't stay hot all the time. Depression comes from the same thing. Hurts that have never been resolved in the past. Now just a couple more. Bitterness, hatred, resentment. These are soul's pains. Something's wrong. Listen, all of us know some bitter people. There's a man in our church, he's bitter all the time. I feel he's such a sick guy. Oh God, he's sick. He's always bitter about something. I wish he could get healed. But you know why he can't? He doesn't think he's sick. He thinks everybody else is sick. He'll never get healed. He blames everybody else for everything. Let me tell you something. When you are whole, you don't ever get and stay bitter. Because you're able to control that in your life. And you know how to handle the hurts that have come your way. Apathy. Unconsciousness, indifference, boredom. Boredom is a soul pain that says you've lost your purpose for life. How could anybody be bored in this world is beyond me. Boredom comes from a blind soul that can't see the wonders around us. Boredom comes from people who have no purpose in life. What am I getting up today for? Apathy. How can anybody be apathetic that has the love of God in the world in which we live today? How can anybody be apathetic? How can anybody be indifferent? Listen, if you are indifferent and apathetic to the hurts around you, you've got a sick soul. A healthy soul is concerned about other people. One more transparency, and then the invitation. Let me tell you something. The start of all healing comes with openness. I'm hurting. There's a woman here tonight that needs to ask for healing in this way. I hate my former husband's guts. She can't get the bitterness away from the man who left her with the kids. Listen, honey, that bitterness isn't hurting him any, it's killing you. Do you know you can be healed? Do you know that you can actually come to the place where you can forgive and love that guy that did you like that? Some of you young people, and I don't know, I'm not pointing, God hasn't shown me anybody in particular. You and your parents are not getting along very well. That's not wholesome Christianity. And you think that someday you're going to get married and have a wonderful husband, you're just going to carry your troubles over into your marriage. Anybody can tell you that. You better get rid of your hurts now. Because if you don't, hurt people hurt people. Now here's what I'd like to do, and I'm not sure what to do to this bigger crowd. The last two or three times I've done this in a church, over half the people have come to the place where they said, I'm hurting and I need help. But we're going to have just church now. This is church. We've just had a lecture. Church is when God's people, under the headship of Christ, are ministering to one another. Now, if you're hurting tonight, and you want help, we're not going to get you to broadcast to this congregation what you heard, so I'm going to tell you what to do then. But this will be a start. If you're hurting tonight, you've got soul pains, and you recognize that you've got... Remember what soul pains are? They're saying something is wrong inside of you that needs to get fixed. Now, see, the church should be doing this all the time. You ought to be able to pick up your phone and call your Sunday school teacher and say, I'm hurting. And the Sunday school teacher ought to be able to pick up her phone and call a member and say, I'm hurting. The humility has to work on both sides of the fence. If you don't respond to pain properly, and the pain's been there for some time, it's going to get worse. If time would have healed it, we've already healed it. You know some bitter, old, mean people? I'll tell you how they got that way. They got hurt down the line and they never took care of it. I can show you women that have been hurt over and over and over again, and they are smiling, wonderful, gracious people because they learned how to take care of the hurts that their husbands inflicted. I'm thinking of one woman whose husband's been a drunkard for years. She's learned how to handle her hurts, and she is a victorious, triumphant Jesus person, if I ever saw one. When I see her, she looks like a 250-watt bulb. And I say to myself, how can she be like that when she has been inflicted pain like she has? I tell you how she can. She got healing. And she took care of her pains. And she's a wholesome person. There's a verse that Baptists don't like at all. In fact, they wish it wasn't in the Bible. It goes like this. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you might be healed. That's fairly obvious to me. It says confess your faults one to another. Listen, I wouldn't be standing in this pulpit tonight if I hadn't been healed of lust. I know that. But I didn't get healing for a long time because I wasn't in a community of believers that I was free to express it to. In my ministry, I've seen a lot of people go down because they didn't get healing. And I've seen a lot of people go up and become triumphant, wonderful people because when they had hurts in the soul, they took care of them just like they did in the body. And they got healing. Okay, tonight. Brother Paul, I'm not quite sure how to handle all of this right now. What do you think with this many people? You have any ideas? Okay, I feel like God just gave me a method. If you're hurting tonight in any place, we're not going to ask you to say it out loud. I'm going to tell you what to do. But you're hurting and you say, hey, I know there's something wrong inside of me because I've got soul pains and I want help. Would you just stand up right now, wherever you are? Let me say something to you. God has seen you, and he knows your honesty. And this is what I was afraid of, because I know of no way tonight to have the ministry right here. So I feel like the Lord flashed something by my mind. It's the only thing I know to do. You are right now standing. I want you to ask God, listen carefully, who you should see, what fellow Christian you should see that he would like to use to pray for you. Now you just ask, I want you just to pray. Now God, you see, this is why we need to hear him. He's got somebody that he wants to minister to you. There's a name, a person, and it is God's instrument of healing. If husbands and wives are standing there because of common hurts, it'd probably be a couple. But I just want you to stop right now. And see, this is the way you can handle your pain. God, I've got a pain. Who shall I see? Everybody cannot see Brother Paul. That's why we have a body. So I want you right now to do this. Then I'm going to tell you what to do next. Just say, Heavenly Father, I'm hurting. Which member of your body do you want to use to start me in the healing processes? So go ahead and pray that. And he'll give you a name. Just keep that name in your mind. Okay, now look this way. If you can find that person tonight, this is what I feel like God's telling me. I just have to operate the best I know in what he's telling me. If you can find that person tonight, and it's convenient for that, for instance, if it's a mother that has a baby in the nursery, she needs to pick it up, it'll not be a good time. But what I'm saying to you, I believe that God is instructing me in this. I really do. You should see that person as quickly as possible and get together with them and tell them absolutely as much as you can tell them. A man came to me one time for me to pray for his heart, and God told me, said, he doesn't have any heart trouble. He's full of bitterness. And I said, who hurt you? He said, 4 years ago, my boss fired me, and I've never forgiven him. Well, when he forgave his boss, he was healed right away of pain's ail. He had a psychosomatic pain. So you go to this person, get with them as soon as you can. Because if God gave you a name, then that's the person God wants to use. Now, if you didn't get a name, I would suggest you see your closest spiritual leader in this church and say, I've got a hurt. Who do you suggest that I see to pray with me? Because some of you probably are not ready to hear God and names like this tonight. But if you did, that's how you want to follow through. Now, what I'd like to pray, just pray for tonight, because I don't know any other way to handle this tonight, Brother Paul. I really don't. Than what I'm doing. And you see the great multitude of people that are standing here. I want to suggest in the past that you handle pains as quickly in your soul as you do in your body. You don't wait for months if you've got a pain in your body, go see the doctor. You try to fix it, and if you can't fix it, you go see a doctor right away. Handle it like that. And build relationships with people that you will be confident that you can go to. You might come to me and I say, no, of course you won't, but I'm just using it. And I might say to you, I'm not the one to help you, but I know somebody who can help you with this particular kind of pain, and I will lead you to someone who can help you with that. But I want to tell you something. God's in the healing business. He's in the business of making us whole internally so that we can express Him in the world in which we live. So let me just pray for you right now. Remember, you're going to go see that person. You have the responsibility to go and see that person that God has put in your mind. And if you don't know who that person is, your nearest spiritual leader might be your Sunday school teacher, if you're in the choir, it might be Mitch. If you're a deacon or an elder, it might be Brother Paul. I don't know. You know who your nearest spiritual leader is and to be able to do it. But what I've tried to get you to see tonight, by the grace of God, I think this is what God wanted. My wife and I were praying here about what message to bring, is that respond to pain in the soul like you do in the body, and you'll have a healthy soul, because God will bring healing to your souls. Let's pray together. You may be seated. Father, help us. You have seen these beloved children of yours who have said, we're hurting, we need help. And for most of them, you put a name in their mind, somebody that you're going to designate to help them. Help them to take those first steps. And Father, I pray, 6 months from now, there will be great rejoicing by the people who stood up tonight, because you will have initiated and worked on the processes that are going to bring healing and health and wholeness to their inner being. In Jesus' name, amen.